Today, markets box at shadows as Trump 2.0 arrives. Hello again, it's Martin Noll from Digital Finance and the Latest. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. This week, we saw more volatility, but with the MSCI Global Index up 2.56% and up for the year to date as well, and 18% for the past year. The US dollar continues to hold at high levels while bond yields eased back from recent highs, and the US volatility index slid to 15.97 ahead of the arrival of Trump 2.0 on Monday. No doubt, investors will closely monitor stock markets on Tuesday, the day after Donald Trump is inaugurated for his second term in the White House, to see if US equities can continue their recent trend of posting gains after a president is sworn in. While historically the benchmark S&P 500 stock index has not performed well on average on inauguration day or the day after if the inauguration falls on a market holiday, the last three inaugurations have all resulted in market gains. Total S&P 500 returns in the first year of office for Barack Obama, Trump, and Joe Biden topped 20%. Actually, Trump broke the cycle in 2017, making him the first Republican to take over from a Democrat and not have a recession in the first year of his presidency since Harding back in 1921. So let's see if he could make that two consecutive times. The Washington Post ran a story on January the 6th indicating that Trump's new tariffs might be much narrower than promised on the stump. The story indicated they would probably be limited to a few key areas: the defense, industrial supply chain, critical medical supplies, and energy production. Trump denied the report, casually calling it fake news, but the market didn't buy this, making his reaction as supporting the widespread belief that Trump's tough talk on tariffs is largely a negotiating position. It's critical, though, to distinguish market from overall economic impacts. The two shouldn't be conflated. The US economy is a net importer, as it imports more than it exports, hence the trade deficit. But the S&P 500 is a net exporter. Leading exports from those companies include agricultural products, machinery, finished vehicles, technology, electronic equipment, minerals, fuels, and oils around the globe, primarily to Canada, Mexico, China, Japan, and the United Kingdom. So while the S&P 500 companies would feel an indirect impact from increased tariffs, perhaps from increased inflation and somewhat diminished consumer wherewithal to purchase products, negative impacts on many large companies may be overestimated. That said, staff at the Bank for International Settlements warned of a global bout of stagflation if trade tariffs continue to drive up the dollar. Stagflation, which is the combination of strong inflation and weak economic growth, is viewed as kryptonite by economists as consumers and firms are hit from both sides. The BIS report said that the world economy was on track for a soft landing, but it stressed growing uncertainty due to what it described as the new looming challenges. The value of the US dollar could continue its recent rise on the back of higher US interest rates, a stronger US economy, and high political uncertainty, the BIS report said. This could have stagflationary effects on the global economy due to the dollar's dominant role in trade invoicing and international finance. A stronger dollar tends to boost inflation outside the US by increasing import prices and inflation expectations, especially in developing world countries. As investors seek assets that would shine under a Donald Trump presidency, one corner of the US stock market expected to benefit from the Republican policies has been stumbling. Shares of smaller US companies has been under pressure, with a small cap Russell 2000 last week marking a 10% correction from its November highs. The S&P 500 benchmark, in comparison, the large cap companies declined less than 3% in that time. But some Trump trades continue to thrive. Shares of Tesla, led by Trump backer Elon Musk, has gained nearly 60% since November the 5th, and Bitcoin, which is expected to benefit from a friendlier crypto regulatory environment, is up 40%. Economically, it does seem that the US is still dealing with an inflation problem, Cleveland Federal Reserve Bank President Beth Hammock told the Wall Street Journal. Hammock, who was selected to lead the Cleveland Fed last year and opposed the Fed's decision to slash interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point at the central bank's December meeting, told the paper that while there had been amazing progress on cooling price growth, we need to continue to finish the job. Hammock also argued that backing the cut, because it was widely priced in by financial markets, was an insufficient reason to do it. Minutes from the Fed's December meeting showed that most members backed taking a careful approach to more rate reductions this year, due partly to uncertainty surrounding the potential impact on inflation of President-elect Donald Trump's plans for sweeping new import tariffs. But data earlier this week showed that while headline consumer prices in the US rose as expected in December, the underlying measure, stripping out volatile items like food and fuel, had increased at a slower than anticipated rate. But there are still some trends pushing higher on some measures. Nevertheless, bets that the Fed would opt to roll out a couple of further rate cuts by the end of the year were bolstered after the publication of the figures on Wednesday, although the wages were tempered somewhat by solid economic indicators later in the week. Factory output increased 0.6% last month after an upwardly revised 0.4% rebound in November, the Federal Reserve said on Friday. And the Institute of Supply Management's Purchasing Managers Index rose to a nine-month high in December. But broad tariffs on imported goods planned by President-elect Donald Trump's incoming administration could raise the cost of raw materials and undermine any recovery. Still, US stocks rebounded strongly in their final session of the week, with the S&P 500 ending up just shy of the 6,000-point level as consumer discretionary stocks paced nine of the benchmark's 11 industry sectors higher. US markets will be closed on Monday for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. At the close in New York, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.87%, set a new one-month high, while the S&P 500 index climbed 1%, and the Nasdaq Composite Index climbed 1.51%. Among the top advances on the Dow were Nvidia, Amazon, and Goldman Sachs on strong banking results, as 23 of the indices' 30 components rallied. Merck and Johnson & Johnson, though, slipped as the Biden administration identified a new list of drugs for price negotiations. Rio Tinto's US shares rose 2.2% in New York. There was no additional news on a potential combination of Rio and Glencore. Bloomberg News reported on Thursday that Rio Tinto and Glencore have held early-stage discussions about combining their businesses. Glencore previously proposed a merger with Rio back in 2014. Intel rose 9.2% after a report on a technology site said that the chipmaker is an acquisition target, but they didn't identify the potential suitor. Bank of America strategist Michael Harnett said US equities are protected by optimism surrounding Donald Trump's second term, though further gains are checked by concentration in mega cap stocks, high valuations, and positioning. Treasury yields have surged this week. The benchmark 10-year yield hit a 40-month high and was last at 4.628, and the 2-year was at 4.285, having eased back a tad later in the week. Gold futures February delivery was down 0.41% to $2,748 a troy ounce. They've been grinding sideways for the better part of several months now, weighing on sentiment. Late October's mounting bullishness is long gone, deteriorating to, well, perhaps apathy. But gold's recent high consolidation is a remarkable show of strength, defying a massive US dollar rally. Such big and fast gains on a higher Fed rate trajectory have mostly exhausted the dollar's upside, maybe paving the way for gold to surge again later. Oil headed for a fourth straight week ahead of President-elect Donald Trump's second term, with traders seeking clarity on far-reaching sanctions and trade policies. Crude oil for delivery in March fell 0.51% to hit $77.39 a barrel, while the March Brent oil contract fell 0.63% to trade at $80.73 a barrel. From a technical point of view, the market is in overbought territory and so overdue a correction, but mounting supply risks continue to provide broad support to oil prices. There are reports that the incoming Trump administration is looking at how to approach the recent sanctions placed against Russia and how they could be used as a tool to try to push Russia and Ukraine towards a peace deal. There are also suggestions that the incoming administration will take an aggressive approach towards Iran and Venezuela. The market should get more clarity following the inauguration next week. Well, maybe. European shares ended on a positive note on Friday, benefiting from a broad-based rally, which was fueled by declining government bond yields and encouraging economic data from China, with the Stoxx 600 index logging its fourth straight weekly rise. The benchmark index, which rose 0.7%, recorded more than a 2% gain over the week, achieving its fourth consecutive week of advances. That's the longest winning streak since August the 26th last year. Most Stoxx 600 subsectors were trading higher, with rate-sensitive sectors like construction and industrials boosting the index, rising 1.6% and 1.5% respectively. Meanwhile, data showed that Eurozone consumer inflation for December was in line with expectations, and the European Central Bank's Frank Elderson said it was not yet done lowering interest rates, but that the timing and size of any future policy easing is not yet certain. Eurozone benchmark German bond yields tracked lower for the first weekly drop since early December 2024, and the German 10-year was last at 2.4990. Now, the UK's FTSE 100 outperformed its continental peers, gaining 1.3% to close an all-time high of 8,505 on rate cut expectations. The only sector in the red was healthcare, which fell 0.8%, as Barclays said it was cautious on European pharmaceuticals and life sciences, predicting a challenging first half of the year. British retail sales fell unexpectedly in December, adding to a run of downbeat economic indicators that are likely to further boost expectations for a Bank of England interest rate cut next month. This was driven by a very poor month for food sales, which sank to their lowest level since 2013, with supermarkets particularly affected, the ONS said. British government 30-year borrowing costs hit their highest since 1998 back on Monday, the biggest losers in a global bond sell-off driven by concerns about higher inflation and borrowing under the imminent presidency of Donald Trump. But British bond prices recovered later in the week after weaker than expected British and US inflation data and slower than expected GDP growth in November, the first month after Reeves set out a budget plan. On Wednesday, Britain's opposition Conservative Party said Reeves did not have the confidence of the market, citing the moves in bonds, but the gilt market rallied over the last 3 days, in part due to downbeat economic data, with those retail sales sliding unexpectedly, and the increasing likelihood of a Bank of England interest rate cut on February the 6th. The 10-year gilt yield has only just now increased a little since the end of 2024, meaning it has outperformed the equivalent benchmark bond from every other group of seven advanced economy, bar the US. However, 10-year yields are still around 0.35% higher than when Reeves delivered her first budget on October the 30th, which set out plans for higher taxes and greater borrowing to fund investment. 30-year gilt yields, which bore the brunt of the sell-off and touched their highest since 1998 on Monday, are now at 5.284, compared with 5.472%. Investors on Friday priced in 68 basis points of interest rate cuts from the Bank of England by the end of the year, so between 2 and 3 0.25 percentage point reductions, compared with fewer than 50 basis points just earlier in the week. We still think this is on the low side. We continue to forecast 100 basis points of cuts, said Andrew Godwin, chief UK economist at Oxford Economics. If we're proven right on bank rate, there's still scope for yields at the longer end to fall. Britain is set to have the fastest growth among major European economies this year. That's according to the IMF, a boost to Finance Minister Rachel Reeves, who is under pressure over a slowdown since her party came into power in July. The IMF on Friday raised its forecast for British growth in 2025 by 0.1 percentage points to 1.6%, making it the third strongest among the group of seven advanced economies after the US and Canada. Last month, the OECD also raised its forecast for British economic growth to 1.7% from 1.2% previously. The German DAX was up to 20,897, while the DAX Volatility Index, which measures the implied volatility of the DAX, was down 2.97% to 1412. At the close in Paris, the CAC 40 rose 0.98%, hit a new three-month high, and the CAC VIX was unchanged at 1896, but still at a new 52-week high. The euro-US dollar was at 1.0271, while the euro-pound stood at 0.8439. Most Asian stocks rose on Friday, buoyed by gains in Chinese stocks following robust economic data, while Japanese equities declined sharply on expectations of interest rate hike next week. Gains were limited as regional markets are still cautious ahead of the US President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration due just next week. China's economy grew more than expected in the fourth quarter of 2024. Gross domestic product data showed on Friday as Beijing doled out a slew of stimulus measures aimed at supporting growth. The Chinese economy grew 5% in the second consecutive year, with Beijing having set a similar target for 2025. Actually, GDP grew 5.4% year on year in the 3 months to December. That's more than the expectation of 5% and picked up sharply from a 4.6% seen in the prior quarter, according to the government data. GDP grew 1.6% quarter on quarter, in line with expectations. Other data show that industrial production grew more than expected in December, as those recent stimulus measures from Beijing continue to support businesses. December retail sales were also stronger than expected and accelerated sharply from the rise seen in the prior month. Friday's reading shows that the recent stimulus measures from Beijing, doled out since late September, are indeed beginning to bear fruit. The government had unveiled its most aggressive round of stimulus measures during the quarter, aimed largely at supporting local manufacturing, curbing state government debt, and also boosting the laggard property market. China was also seen gearing up for more fiscal stimulus in 2025, with planned increases in the GDP deficit and increased debt issuance. There will be a particular point of focus on Chinese measures to boost private consumption. Deflation has remained a major weight on the economy over the past 2 years. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 index rose 0.5%, and the Shanghai Composite Index gained 0.4%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index inched 0.2% higher. At the close in Tokyo, Japan's Nikkei 225 fell more than 1% on Friday, hit a new one-month low, while the Topex declined 0.7%, and the Nikkei volatility was down to 22.62. The market focus for next week will be the Bank of Japan interest rate decision due on the 23rd and 24th of January, where expectations for a rate hike are in play. The Bank of Japan governor said on Wednesday that a hike was possible if economic and price conditions continue to improve. South Korea's KOSPI index inched 0.2% lower a day after the Bank of Korea maintained its policy interest rate at 3%, which was contrary to widespread expectations of a 25 basis point cut. And India's Nifty 50 fell 0.5% on Friday to 23,203. Australian shares edged low on Friday as investors took profits in the banks ahead of US President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration early next week. That's after the exchange rose 1.4% on Thursday, spurred by better-than-expected inflation figures out of the US ahead of Trump's inauguration next week. The ASX was at 8,310.4. The Thursday jump was reversed on Friday, sending all the major banks into the red. Index heavyweight Commonwealth Bank was down 1.2% to 153.90. National Australia Bank lost 1.7% to $37.78. ANZ dropped 1.8% and Westpac declined 1.5% to $32.16. Macquarie was at $231.09. Iron ore prices edged 0.6% higher to a one-month high of $104 a tonne in Singapore. And in corporate news, CC Capital raised its bid for Insignia Financial to $4.60 a share from $4.30 previously, bringing the value of the bid above $3 billion. That's after rival bidder Bain Capital matched the previous $2.9 billion offer on Monday. Shares were 6.5% higher at $4.43. Rio Tinto closed down 0.7% to $118.74, following reports from Bloomberg that the miner was holding talks with fellow mining giant Glencore about merging their businesses, a combination that would leapfrog BHP as the world's largest mining group. Lynas Rare Earths slipped 0.9% to $7.03 after reporting slow production in the December quarter, despite rising sales revenue. And shares in Lovisa advanced 7.8% to $29.28 after the stock was upgraded to an overweight rating by Morgan Stanley. Aussie Broadband appointed the new chief executive as head of the group, and he joined the telco in 2019. Shares were 5.5% higher at $3.84. And Telix Pharmaceuticals added 3.1% to $26.59 after receiving approvals from Europe's marketing authorization application for its prostate cancer imaging agent. A new exchange-traded fund that will identify and short ASX-listed companies is set to launch in the coming weeks, aiming to compete with Australia's established hedge fund industry. The fund, which was developed by Van Eyck, is set to launch on the ASX later this month under the ticker ALFA and will mark the exchange's first systemic Australian equity long-short ETF. Shorting is a high-risk trading technique used traditionally by institutional investors to profit from falling share prices by selling them first and buying them back later at a lower price. This practice was thrust into the public eye by traders such as Steve Eastman, depicted by actor Stephen Carell in the 2015 film The Big Short, who shorted the US housing market to great profit in the lead-up to the 2008 global financial crisis. Now, there are hundreds of billions of dollars in Australian retirement savings invested in American equities, benefiting from bullish market sentiment as traders hoped Mr. Trump's administration will boost company earnings. Australia's major industry superannuation funds, which controls $3 trillion of the nation's $4.1 trillion pension pool, have built up their exposure to international equities to nearly $890 billion, or 34% of all funds. That has been offset by a fall in their cash holdings to a record low, meaning there's little capital for them to deploy if a two-year rally suddenly reverses. Meanwhile, Australia's retail investors have also poured a record $5 billion into Wall Street-focused exchange-traded funds last year, leaving them highly exposed to any disappointment in Mr. Trump's first weeks in office. The big superannuation funds have a ballooning exposure to the so-called Magnificent Seven tech companies. Microsoft is the largest international stock they hold, following Amazon, Alphabet, Apple, Nvidia, and Meta. The seventh electric car maker, Tesla, is also widely held by retail investors. This lack of breadth, though, has caused some firm managers to avoid US tech stocks altogether. Now, in crypto, after demonstrating strength above 100,000 US, there are signs Bitcoin might still be in a covert downward trend. The volume profile of Bitcoin is another factor contributing to the uncertainty. It has not yet attained the levels observed during its previous peaks, despite a recent increase. It was last 103,110. Now, at around 40 cents, Dogecoin successfully broke through a significant resistance level, indicating fresh market bullishness. The bearish trend that has been in place since middle of December would be nullified if this resistance level was broken, but it was last at 39.63 cents, so we'll see about that. And with its price movement indicating little hope for the near future, Ethereum is still having trouble on the markets. The cryptocurrency has not produced any notable upward momentum and has been trapped in a consolidation phase at around the current price of $3,252. So standing back, there is a lot of uncertainty ahead, a lot of question about the strength of the US economy, and a lot of risk flowing back into Australia from the strong US dollar, from the fact that investors in Australia are highly exposed to the US, and just the plain uncertainty. So the shadow that Trump is casting over the markets is pretty large at the moment. And I suspect that we're going to see considerable uncertainty over the next few weeks with more volatility ahead as things play out. So being a bit cautious rather than all in probably continues to make some sort of sense. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.